Turn to James chapter 1 this evening. We're going to read verses 18 through 27. James chapter 1. Verse 18 says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of men worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Father, we have no hope in this life without you. We have no hope of eternal life without you. Father, we thank you for your word that you give us, that we can read each day, that we can see your promises, that we can see your rebukes, that we can see your correction and righteousness. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Father, as we look at this passage tonight, help us to know how we can better apply your word to our lives, that you might be honored and glorified in the way that we live. In Jesus' name, amen. As James begins this section of verse 18, he begins by stating the fundamental reason why we should live a life that shows evidence of a relationship with Christ. And remember we said at the beginning of this study that James, what's he doing? He's writing to believers who are scattered abroad. They're scattered abroad because of persecution and various things, and he says, don't hide your faith. Make it an outward manifestation. Show that you are Christians by what you do, by how you live. And don't hide it inside. In verse 17, James reminds us, we looked at that last week. He says, every good gift comes from our Heavenly Father, and there's nothing good within ourselves. All that we have is good is from Him. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that we have that is good, it's from Him. But he goes on in verse 18, and he tells us the reason why we should live as we should. It says in verse 18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. If we turn over to John chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, it seems that these verses kind of run parallel with each other. There's the same thoughts in these verses that are in James chapter 1, verse 18. John 1, 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And those verses tell us as well that our salvation is not of us. God's will was that we receive Him. He desires that we trust Him as Savior. And it says here, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Need the right verse here. 1 Peter 1, 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We can go all the way back to Genesis to see the principle that we find in these verses. Who created man? God did. Who gives life in the womb? God does. And that's seen throughout Scripture when it talks about God opening and closing the womb. Who gives spiritual life? God does. If you look at John 1:4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 14:6, Jesus saith to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. 1 John 5:11 says, this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Who makes the choice to give life? God does. When a woman becomes pregnant, it's because God has placed a little life in her womb. And I think about this as I was studying. So, and that's why abortion is so wrong. Yes, it's a murder of an unborn child. But you know what it really is? It's a direct affront against God. And saying, God, I don't want to do things the way you want to do them. I am rejecting everything you're doing here. I'm going to take the situation in my own hands. And that's why it's so wrong. I'll get off that soapbox. But really it is. God is the one that gives life. And when we take a life, when a man takes a life, he's taking the place of God and trying to take that authority. When God gives eternal life to a believer, it's because that person has chosen to accept the gift of salvation that God offers, and then God fulfills his promise and gives eternal life. It is God's desire to give eternal life. It is his will. 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How is it that we are given new life? It says here in this verse, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And you think about that's talking about the gospel. And what is the word of truth? Well, you look at John chapter 1. Who is the word in John chapter 1? It's Jesus Christ. What is the word of truth? It's the gospel, but it's also the written word. And so there's a multifaceted way that we receive salvation there. It's through the written word. And what we see in God's word, it's recorded for us. But it's also through Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross for us. And so it's through the living word as well that we receive eternal life. Why is it that God's will is that we are begotten of him? It says here, of his own will. It was his will that he begot us. Why? Well, the end of that verse says that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Back in the Old Testament, when they brought the first fruits to the tabernacle, it was saying, this is our offering to God out of gratitude for the harvest that we are about to gather. And so they would bring those first fruits and they'd give them to God, and God would the priest would take them and offer them before God. As one commentary was explaining it, it's interesting that he noted the giving of first fruits had a lot to do with ownership and a lot to do with priority. And so that person was acknowledging when they brought those first fruits, say, God, we're giving these an offering, but more than that, God, we realize that you are the one that gave us this harvest. You are the one that gave us what we have. And so we give these to you as an offering of thanks for what you've already given us. We're coming up on Thanksgiving in just a couple of 3 weeks. An opportunity again to remind God of all that has happened this year. The good times, the bad times, the trials he's brought us through, and all those times, and we can turn around and say, God, thank you for what you brought us through. Thank you for the blessings. You think back to the pilgrims. They came across in that first Thanksgiving that we all hear about when we're this high. We read about it. You see the pilgrims in their black and white outfits and all this, and pictures and all these things with the Indians. And what were they doing? Had God just showered them with great circumstances and everything as they came over to this new land? No. They were thanking God for all that he had provided in their trials, all that he had provided for them. And we realize we're the first fruits of God's creatures to manifest to others a gratitude for what he's done in our lives in bringing us to himself and saving us. If God has given us physical life, then he rightfully owns our bodies. If God has given us spiritual life, he also has the rightful ownership of our spiritual lives. The first fruits were given to God as an acknowledgement of the one who gave it. Our lives are to be the first fruits of the work that God has done in our hearts. We are to live in a way that gives evidence that we are a child of God, so others can see, wow, that person really does love the Lord. So that's the basis of why we should live the way we do, because of what God has done in our lives, of his will to beget us to be one of his children. And then we go on to the practice, and we find that in verses 19 through 17. We see here, we won't read the whole passage again, but considering what we've just learned, this is how we're to put it in practice. Barnes ties it together this way in his commentary. He says, since God is the only source of good, since he tempts no man to sin, and since by his mere sovereign goodness, without any claim on our part, we have had the high honor conferred on us by being made the first fruits of his creatures, we ought to be ready to hear his voice, to subdue all our evil passions, and to bring our souls to entire practical obedience. The first thing we see here in verses 19 and 20 in the practice is a hearing. It says here, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Here I've been in a conversation with someone, and I can remember some just recently I've been in, but they're trying to tell you something, only to realize when they get done talking, you hadn't really heard what they said. Maybe you're focused on something else. Maybe you're paying attention to something off in the distance, but maybe you're daydreaming. And they were explaining something to you, and finally you clue in. It's like, oh, okay, I guess I didn't really know what you just said to me. We listened to them talk, but we didn't really hear what they were saying. Do we ever approach God's word like that? We finish our Bible reading in the morning. 5 minutes later, we couldn't remember what we read. We acknowledge God was speaking in his word, but we didn't hear what he was saying to us. Think about it. Do you remember what you read in your devotions this morning? Oh yeah, I read in the Psalms. That's pretty vague. Do we remember what we read this morning? James is encouraging us here as believers to be swift to hear, attentive with our ears. We cannot hear if we're talking. He says, be slow to speak. One of the things my dad taught me is you learn a lot by listening. You don't learn as much by talking. And if you ever see me in a conversation in a group of people, oftentimes I'll just try to listen. Because you'll learn a lot about people by listening. And we can't evaluate what we're hearing if our spirit is troubled. He says here, be slow to wrath. The idea here is, in this verse, is to hear with a quiet mouth and a calm spirit. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? It says here in verse 20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Our lives are to be a demonstration of the work that God has done and is doing in our lives, and that means we are to live a righteous life. The wrath of man does not tend toward doing right. If I continue to, in my anger, if I continue in this unrest in my spirit, it tends to lead towards unwise and wrong choices. So I need to be slow to wrath. And the emphasis here is placed on being able to hear the word, being able to hear what God is saying. Be tuned in. You know, you think about back in a long time ago when families would gather around the radio, and we had a TV when I was little, but a lot of times we'd turn on the radio when I was little. In fact, when I was saved, it was because I heard a man on the radio preaching a message about being saved. My mom had tuned it in, and maybe some of you remember families sitting around the radio listening at night. You get just, finally it tunes in. So we need to do with God's word. We need to tune it in, pay attention. So the hearing, and then we see in verse 21, the cleansing. He says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. You know, I look at that verse and I think, what is our natural tendency? We read in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, we were saved out of a life of sin. And that's our natural tendency if left to ourselves. And James is saying here, lay apart all filthiness, all superfluity of naughtiness. He says, lay those things apart. Put, as Ephesians 4 says, put the old man, the old nature away. Just resist him. Allow God to build put a new man in our hearts and develop the new man. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. You think about the picture that God used in Ephesians, how that he told the Gentiles that the Jews rejected the message of Christ. And so what did God do? He took and he made a way for the Gentiles to be grafted in. And that's the idea. Throw away those things that shouldn't be there and graft in the Word of God. So we might take part in that. We might feed from that and grow in that. When you get a pitcher out of the cupboard to put drinking water in, what do you want to make sure of? Pitcher's clean. It could have a bug in it. Okay, yeah, it's been washed before it was put in the cupboard, but it very likely could have something in it. So you make sure the pitcher is clean. When we want to be able to receive the truth that we hear, what do we need to make sure of? That our lives are clean. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verses 12 and 13. Says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. If we allow sin to dwell in our hearts, we are hindering the truth that can enter. We have to confess all that, all sin, so that we can receive all truth. See, God doesn't give us a second heart when we trust Him as our Savior. He cleans up the heart that we have. He cleanses us from sin. But we've got to keep that heart clean, so that God can use us and God can fill us with His truth. And so making sure we're taking part in that cleansing so we can receive God's word. And then third thing we see here is the doing. Verses 22 to 25. Back to James here. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hearing is very important. Having a receptive heart is very important. But what is necessary after that? Doing. Application. Taking what I've learned and applying it to my life. You know, if a man comes in here to this service, he sits down and his life is just racked with sin and immorality and drunkenness and drugs and all that, and he hears the truth of God's word, he comes under conviction, he gets up and he walks out. What's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. He's going to continue on the way he is because he hasn't allowed God to work in his heart. He hasn't allowed that conviction to take and work itself out into receiving the truth, applying it to his life, confessing his sin, and renewing that relationship with Christ. If I go to the doctor because I have an illness, and that doctor prescribes some medicine for my illness to help me get better, what is my responsibility? Home and watch TV, right? No. My responsibility is go to the pharmacy, buy the medicine, take the medicine, because it'll help me get better. I cannot expect to get better if I don't take the medicine the doctor prescribed. Another illustration. You go to a fitness club because you want to strengthen your muscles. I would say go to work. But the trainer lays out a fitness plan for you, and you follow along and you see how he's laying out this plan. And then after he's done laying out this plan, telling you what you need to do, you go over and get your coat on and you go home. What's going to happen? Nothing toward getting stronger. Maybe you clean the dust off the floor of the gym or something, but that's about it. But we've got to do what the instruction is given to us. If we want to grow as a Christian, we have to take the truth of the Word of God and apply it to our lives. And we have to ask God to develop those things in us. Turn back to me, Ephesians chapter 4. We've got to ask God to develop the things in our lives that we need to grow and we need to obey His Word. Ephesians chapter 4. Here's some things that God tells us in verse 22 through 32. Verse 25, well, we read verse 22 a minute ago, but down in verse 25 it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." So that's one thing we can allow God to work in our hearts on. Say, "God, help me to speak truth all the time." Okay? Put away lying. Verse 26, "Be angry and sin not. God, help me not to be angry. Convict me when I'm tended toward anger. Help me to seek your grace and your strength to not be angry." Verse 27, "Neither give place to the devil." Don't give place. Don't give the devil opportunity to influence us. Resist him. Resist temptation. Verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Don't steal. Work so you have to give. Verse 29, the idea here is use edifying speech. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Verse 30, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by our sin." Verse 31, "Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice." And then verse 32, "Be kind to one another, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And so those are things that God can develop in our lives. When we see those, we can say, "God, please help me to be willing to forgive. God, please help me to be kind to one another, to treat others as you would have me to treat them. Help me to put away bitterness out of my life. Show me when it's there and help me to get that out of my life." James illustrates it here with the man looking in the mirror, verses 23 and 24. He says, "If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass." A man comes up to a mirror and he come up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you go, "Ah!" He sees some things that need to be taken care of. Okay, his hair is disheveled, his teeth make the mirror turn green. And he's just like, "Okay, I got to deal with some things here." But if he leaves and doesn't deal with them, he's like a man who hears the word and doesn't do anything about it. But he says in verse 25 there, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The man that looks into God's word and applies the truths that he learns will be blessed. Let me read a passage for you all. You probably could quote it with me. Psalm chapter 1. I know Emily knows it. According to Psalm 1, "Who is the man that is blessed?" It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You could put in front of verse 2 the same words that it started with. Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The man that is blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, and he brings forth fruit. And the only way we can bring forth fruit is to allow God's word to penetrate our hearts, to work in our hearts, to bring forth fruit. In verse 6, it says, "The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." What is righteousness? It's doing what is right before God. What is the way of the ungodly, according to verse 6? Emptiness, vanity, destruction. Remember, we as believers are to bear fruit. And the only way that we can bear fruit is that by hearing the word of God and doing it. And then finally we see in the practice of applying God's word is the evidence in verses 26 and 27. James gives evidence here of the one who does not heed God's word and the one who does. The one who calls himself religious yet does not control his tongue is only deceiving himself. His religion is empty. But the one who heeds God's word will demonstrate it by ministering to others in need and keeping himself from being consumed with the things of the world. So where do we start? We start by taking time each day to read the Bible carefully. And that doesn't mean we read 5 or 6 chapters. Sometimes maybe it's just one chapter. You know, sometimes, honestly, it can be one verse. Sometimes it can be one part of one verse. And God can speak to our hearts and say, it's an area I need you to work on. It's an area I want to work on in your life. Ask God to show you truths in that passage that you can apply to your life and help you grow. And start by learning to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit through your Bible reading. As I was going over this again this afternoon, I was thinking about a real life example. I'll be honest with you. The Smith family is not perfect. And if you've been around us more than a day, you've known that. And there's things that come up and God says, we need to deal with those things. But this morning in my devotions, as I've been reading through, I'm reading a passage in one of the books of history. I'm reading a psalm and I read one in the New Testament. You know what the verse of chapter was I read this morning? Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Though children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. His arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And as I read that passage, and the Lord brought to mind things that he's been pointing out, and I think he was saying, you need me to help you. You can't do it on your own. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. He's the master builder. I've got to trust him in what needs to be done next. That's how we take the word of God and apply it to our lives. Allow God to show you things. And like I said, don't frustrate yourself thinking it won't be there, because it'll be there if you're willing to be sensitive to God teaching you, it'll be there. God will show you. Start by learning to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit through your Bible reading. And God will honor that. And God will teach you things from his word, and he'll grow you. And you can say, as James says, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Because a hearer doesn't benefit us if we don't apply what we've heard. So let's be doers of the word. As we go through this week, ask God to show us truths from his word. As we get promptings to speak to somebody, God will honor that if we follow through. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the things that you teach us from your word. We thank you that you are long-suffering. Father, we've all read these passages before. Father, help us to remember that we need to take the things that you teach us and we need to apply them to our lives. Father, Help us to be sensitive to your leading in our lives. Help us to be willing to be corrected, knowing that you do it out of love, knowing that you do it because you want us to manifest that we are first fruits of your creatures. We're a result of what Christ has done on the cross. May our lives manifest that to others in the way that we live. You may be glorified. Father, please go with us as we go through this week. Help us to be a testimony for you. Please protect us and watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen.